welcome to the KMXT Weekly Wrap, where we go over this week's news from Alaska's Emerald Isle. I'm your host, Davis Hovey. On this week's recap, Congress and President Donald Trump committed billions of dollars to develop a missile defense system to shield North America. Alaska's top aerospace official says that means huge business opportunities are coming for the spaceport on Kodiak Island.
You have to launch targets for other things to test against. And in some cases, there may be some communications or sensors related to that that needs to be spread out in the United States, and spaceports are good places to host that.
More about that story later, but first...
Support for KMXT comes from the Kodiak Area Native Association's Substance Use Treatment Team. Talk with your kids about drugs and tobacco. No matter how young children are, talking with them is one of the best things you can do to keep them drug and tobacco free. Learn more at KodiakHealthcare.org or 907-486-7380.
Dozens of kids filled the Bayside Fire Department in Kodiak for a week-long day camp to learn about firefighting and fire safety. This week's camp was popular. It sold out fast and had a long wait list. As KMXT reports, fighting live but controlled fires was a lot of fun for the kids, but also a way to develop homegrown firefighters for the future.
You would like to come next?
Me?
Yeah.
Wait, your eyes burn.
Come on in.
Fire Chief Scott Ellis supervises a group of 17 kids, aged 6 to 12. One by one, each kid joins the chief in the hot zone to use a fire extinguisher on a real propane flame in a safe environment.
Ready? One, two, three.
12-year-old Jack says he had never used a fire extinguisher before.
It's crazy that this powder puts out the fire, and it's like cool to watch that because it's like this powder just like puts it out instantly.
He explains the four steps the campers learned using the acronym PASS.
P is for like pull the pin, A is for aim, the first S is for squeeze, and then the second S is for sweep it.
Jax put out the fire in under 5 seconds and took an interest in all aspects of the firefighting training. He says he wants to continue more training in the future, much to Captain Shelby Bacchus's glee.
Are we going to aim for the top of the flame or the bottom of the flame?
Bacchus put together this new kids' fire camp.
My whole goal, I think, just with Bayside and all of our departments here on island is to get kids really excited about emergency services young, and then to create programs that'll hopefully allow them to have careers and come either stay in Kodiak or come back to Kodiak for their careers.
Bacchus coordinated activities for each day of the camp, which included visits with Kodiak's other emergency services like the police department and the Coast Guard Fire Department. She also applied for a $14,000 grant from the Alaska Community Foundation to host the summer event, which helped keep the cost to families at about $100 per kid. Other Bayside firefighters and high school cadets took turns assisting the kids' camp. The cadet program is another one of the department's recently launched recruitment programs. Bacchus says she has plans to further expand the department's training and recruitment efforts.
I want to see this program continue to grow, both with the fire camp, the cadet program, and then even college-based courses and just our volunteer program here.
And all the kids I spoke to, like 6-year-old Newton, said they want to do the fire camp again next year.
What do you like about this camp?
That we got to put out a fire and all the sports we get to play.
This first fire camp was capped at 40 kids this year. Bacchus says another 40 were on the wait list within hours of registration opening. She expects that next year's fire camp will be able to accept more. Roughly 6 months after Frank Dorner left the job, the Kodiak City Fire Department has hired a new fire chief. Rich Gonzalez, the current emergency manager for Kodiak Island, has officially taken over the top fire department role. Gonzalez was officially sworn in as the new fire chief during the July 24th City Council meeting. Gonzalez said he's got an amazing crew, including Deputy Fire Chief Steele McNeil, who is filling in temporarily as the acting fire chief after Dorner left in January.
You know, can't thank him enough for everything that he did the past 6 months and keeping what Frank had going and giving me, you know, turning the department over to me with everything still working fine.
That includes the ongoing construction of the brand new fire hall off of Mill Bay Road, which is on track to be completed by the end of this year. Gonzalez has been working alongside the city fire department for months as part of his other job as the local emergency manager. He took on that role for the city and borough back in January. Deputy City Manager Josie Banky said in an email that Gonzalez will, quote, continue fulfilling routine emergency management duties in the absence of a full-time emergency manager, end quote. Banky added that the recruitment process for a new emergency manager has begun internally within the city. According to a press release from the city, Gonzalez's first day on the job as fire chief was July 21st. McNeil will continue on with the department as the deputy fire chief. Last week, the city council awarded roughly $250,000 to 22 local nonprofits. That's out of a total of 25 organizations that requested funding this fiscal year. KMXT reports on which organizations were awarded funds and how they plan to use the money. Kodiak's Humane Society asked for the least amount of money, just $6,000, out of the more than two dozen nonprofits that applied for funding from the city for fiscal year 2026. Cindy Trussell, a board member for the group that oversees the local animal shelter, says most of that money will go towards preventing the spread of pet diseases.
And the city's support for remediation and repair of the forest surfaces within the shelter is going to be really crucial because that's where canine parvovirus can survive, is in places like our forest surfaces.
The Kodiak Animal Shelter recently closed to the public for 2 weeks after confirming a case of canine parvovirus that affected multiple puppies at the facility and resulted in the death of one. There were also some local nonprofits that requested city funds for the first time ever. That includes the Kodiak Reentry, which relies on volunteers to help people returning to Kodiak from prison transition back into the community. Rhea Hayes is the organization's treasurer. She addressed the council during last week's meeting.
Since December, we have served 29 individuals with our volunteer program during their experience with the judicial system, helping them to be more compliant and successful in our community. Each of these individuals has a family, a circle, and a community that their success exerts influence on.
Kodiak Reentry asked the city for $20,000, but was only awarded $7,500 to help reinstate a women's transitional housing program with the Salvation Army and bolster its volunteer program. Most of the Kodiak nonprofits requested $10,000 to $20,000 each. That's mainly due to the city recently adjusting its policies that caps how much funding it gives to each nonprofit based on the type of category they fall into. The new policy, which was adopted on May 8th, provides up to $10,000 for organizations that provide quality of life programs and up to $20,000 for public safety support programs and emergency response support programs. This comes at a time when many nonprofits are seeing their federal funding sources diminished or cut altogether. The Kodiak Arts Council, for example, is losing a quarter of its funding when one of its main grants ends in December. That's according to the Arts Council's executive director, Molly Miller.
We are actively pursuing new funding sources, but federal cuts and economic uncertainty has really intensified competition for grants. We're also anticipating that the Alaska State Council of the Arts may reduce their operating support in future years because there are large cuts being proposed to the National Endowment of the Arts.
$10,000 of city funding will go to the Kodiak Arts Council this year to support community theater and summer arts kids programs. Aside from giving general funds to local nonprofits, the city of Kodiak also allocated $25,000 from its tourism development fund and divided that between the Aleutic Museum, the Kodiak Maritime Museum, and the Kodiak Historical Society. According to city documents, the funding will be dispersed to all the selected nonprofits later this week. In other news, Alaska Republican Congressman Nick Begich III wants to roll back parts of the landmark Marine Mammal Protection Act to modernize it. Conservation groups warn that it's a gutting that endangers already struggling whale populations around the state. KMXT's Brian Venua reports.
Some whale species were hunted nearly to extinction about a century ago, but now tens of thousands of whales migrate to and around Alaska's waters every year. Over time, policymakers established some protections, and the big one was the Marine Mammal Protection Act in 1972. But last week, Representative Nick Begich III pitched a House subcommittee to roll back parts of the act, claiming it's delayed energy development and port construction projects.
As the decades have passed, we've also seen how its implementation, particularly in the use of vague or overly precautionary standards, has led to confusion, delay, and unintended harm. In Alaska, we see this dynamic more than almost anywhere else.
The representative called the legislation a discussion draft. He says he's committed to working across party lines and to hear directly from all stakeholders.
My goal is simple. I want a bill that protects marine mammals and also works for the people who live and work alongside them, especially in Alaska.
Begich's office didn't respond to a request for comment. Forrest Burkholder, the president and CEO of SA Exploration, a Texas-based geoscience and imaging company, told the subcommittee the way the act has been interpreted has gone too far.
Decades of regulation and litigation have caused the MMPA to be interpreted far more expansively than Congress intended and exposed significant flaws in the plain language of the act.
He'd claimed the initial goal of the act had largely been realized. Burkholder said Begich's changes would continue to protect marine mammals while making permitting more efficient and lead to more geoscience investment. But some biologists are concerned what this means for Alaska's marine mammals. Lauren Eckert is the board president of the Alaska Whale Foundation. She says the permitting process is deliberately slow, and streamlining it can lead to irreparable damage.
Large projects may be approved because there's no ability to regulate them under this incidental harm concern, only for us to find out and provide evidence 10 years later that a project has caused considerable harm to a species, at which point it may be too late.
She says the MMPA has been critical for populations growing again, but those animals could be facing major struggles again soon.
Despite major recoveries under the Marine Mammal Protection Act, we recognize through our research that whales, humpbacks, and gray whales are once again at risk due to climate change. We've seen declines across health metrics for whales in our study area in Southeast Alaska over the last 10 years.
One major change Begich is proposing lowers population goals for marine mammals to mere survival from its current line, encouraging maximum productivity. The proposed changes also soften language defining harm and harassment to marine mammals. Eckert says the act is a major reason for why no marine mammals have gone extinct in the U.S. since it was implemented.
It's been lauded as a real success in terms of stabilizing marine mammal populations, including here in Alaska.
But some whale species are still facing major struggles. Nearly a third of eastern North Pacific gray whales died between 2018 and 2023. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration found the animals largely died from starvation, with others killed by orcas, marine debris entanglements, and getting hit by ships. Matt Vandale, the Natural Resources Director for the Shunack Tribe, says at least 10 dead gray whales and another 10 dead humpbacks were reported around the Kodiak Archipelago just this summer, including three that washed up near Kodiak's road system.
This isn't even historically been the busy season yet. It's later in the season that we see this uptick.
Both Vandale and Eckert agree that Begich's proposed legislation could add further stressors to the already struggling populations. The next step for the bill is to be heard by the House Natural Resources Committee. In Kodiak, I'm Brian Venois.
And our final story for this week, during the month of July, Congress and President Donald Trump committed billions of dollars to develop a missile defense system to shield North America. Alaska's top aerospace official says that means huge business opportunities are coming for the state's two rocket launch sites on Kodiak Island and Fairbanks. KMXT reports.
Once fully constructed, the Golden Dome will be capable of intercepting missiles, even if they are launched from other sides of the world, and even if they're launched from space.
That was President Trump on May 20th announcing the Golden Dome project. John Oberst, the CEO and president of the Alaska Aerospace Corporation, says a multi-layered defense system that can intercept hypersonic missiles will require lots of test launches to develop.
You have to launch targets for other things to test against. And in some cases, there may be some communications or sensors related to that that needs to be spread out in the United States, and spaceports are good places to host that.
There are a handful of spaceports around the country, and the main ones, like a Cape Canaveral in Florida or Vandenberg Space Force Base in California, are already backed up. Ober says that makes the Pacific Spaceport Complex Alaska on Kodiak Island attractive. Also, unlike Cape Canaveral and Vandenberg, Kodiak Spaceport is commercial, not federal.
It's getting very complicated to launch in federal spaceports. The bureaucracy alone is challenging for commercial launch providers. So if they come out here to us, we have a very few layers of decision makers that's needed to get a launch of, because we're not on federal land.
When President Trump signed the One Big Beautiful Bill into law, it included $500 million for what it refers to as national security space launch infrastructure. It's unclear how that money will be spent and which of the country's spaceports will benefit from those infrastructure funds, but Oberst expects some will come to Alaska.
And I'm optimistic that it's going to be something that's going to really enhance what we're doing right now. And I'll go beyond Kodiak, because I think that The $500 million that they allocated was for a space launch infrastructure. And if you look at Poker Flat, it could help us establish the orbital piece up there.
The Poker Flat Research Range in Fairbanks can only launch rockets or other objects into suborbit and mainly focuses on scientific rocket launches. But Kodiak Spaceport has already been involved in missile defense before. In 2019, the facility near Narrow Cape was used as a test site for Israel's anti-ballistic missile system, part of its Iron Dome missile defense shield. Ober says he has submitted a wish list to the Department of Defense after the agency asked him what he would like at the Kodiak Island spaceport to support space access and testing for the Golden Dome project. Reporting in Kodiak, I'm Davis Hovey.
KMXT is supported in part by the Kodiak Women's Resource and Crisis Center, providing support for victims of domestic and or sexual violence. 907-486-6171.
If you enjoy this podcast, make sure to subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts. Our staff put together KMXT stories every week to help you keep up to date on the archipelago's latest news. And that's it for this week's edition of the KMXT Weekly Wrap. Again, I'm Davis Hovey. We'll be back next week, same time, same place. Thanks for tuning in.